Turn, if you will, in your Bibles tonight to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, verse 4. In verse 4 it says, therefore we are buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. Think about walking, the Christian walk. Walking in the newness of life is a way of saying how a Christian should live. I don't know about you, but I believe a Christian ought to live different from the world. That's just the way we are. The Bible says we're strangers and pilgrims in this world. We're simply passing through this world. I love that old song, this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. We ought to hold things lightly while we're here because they're not really ours anyhow. God's just lend them to us for a while. And after we have gone, they'll go right back to where they came from. Folks, our life is just a vapor. Our life is just a small time or just a speck in the eternity. And we won't be here long. But while we are here, we should walk the Christian walk. The Bible says we're born into newness of life and we should walk in the newness of life. Some say, well, what difference does it make if we live or walk like Christians or not? We can't influence the whole world. Well, it makes a lot of difference into the lives that we do influence. It makes a lot of difference in our children's lives, the way they see their parents living. And it makes a difference to God how we should walk. Now, I know we do not always walk and we all don't always live as God would have us to live. But that should be our aim, that should be our goal, is to strive to live the Christian life. And I know it's hard. It's hard because even after we're born again, we have an old nature in our life. That old nature just does not disappear. It's still there alongside the new nature. And the new nature is God's Holy Spirit. He has sealed us, and we're His, and therefore He starts working in our life, showing us the things that are displeasing, and little by little, our lives should change. We don't change overnight. It takes time. It takes time for, that to take place. We see an old boy saved, and yes, he's still, some people say, rough around the edges. But you know what? When you live the Christian life for 30 and 40 years, that roughness ought to go away. There should be a change there. There should be some discipline in our life that's changing our life little by little. So the Bible says, one, we should walk in the newness of life. We're faced with the old life in Romans 6, and the new life. And the old life is what we call the old man, or the carnal nature. I'm working on a message now about the old nature and the new nature and things like that. And you know, we do fight that battle with the old carnal nature. It's always there. There's that, and if we don't study the Word, if we don't go to Bible study, if we don't put forth some effort, man, the first thing you know, the old devil's got you. He's got you living just like the world. No wonder we hear those immature Christians saying things that they shouldn't say. No wonder we see members doing things that they shouldn't be doing. They do not grow in the Word. But you know, it's sad. When in the Bible in Corinthians, Paul says, you should not be having to be on milk, but you ought to be eating meat by now. In other words, you ought to have grown past the milk stage. It's time for you to grow up. It's time for the put away the old man and start living the new life. It's start time to win some battles in our life. And I pray that you that are here tonight have won the battles. I don't say you're going to be perfect, because if I do, tomorrow you're going to go out and somebody's going to set you off and the old devil's going to win, and you know you're going to lose your temper, or you're going to be angry at your wife, or you're going to have a blowout, and you know it's going to be hot, and you know it's like the little boy, he heard a preacher come by and he was pulling on that lawnmower, and this preacher had a nice rod and reel, and he was going fishing, and he said, "You know, son, I wish I had a lawnmower like that." And the little boy was saying some pretty cuss words, and he said, "Son, you don't need to talk like that." He said, "I tell you what," he said, "I'll trade you this rod and reel, and if you'll give me that old lawnmower, and that way you won't be cussing." And that little boy said, "Okay, mister, I'll trade with you." I tell you what, the old preacher started pulling on that lawnmower, and he said, "You keep pulling on that a little bit, and you'll talk just like I was." Well, something goes wrong in your life, and the first thing you know, you said something that's displeasing, hadn't you? Well, we need to overcome that. We need to really overcome that old carnal nature. But it is a battle. It's a fight. And if you don't put the whole armor of God on every day, if you don't start off the day with praising God, if you don't, I don't know about you, but I like to sing those little songs of praise wherever I go. It keeps me feeling better. It reminds me who I'm supposed to be serving. You see? So we need to do something in our life to get away from the old man and put on the new. The new life is what we call the new man, or the spiritual nature that's living inside of us now. When God saves us, you know, we're sealed with His Holy Spirit. And everywhere we go, you think about it, everywhere we go, God is there. Every time we sin, it displeases God. Every time we sin or do something wrong, it grieves the Holy Spirit that lives inside of us. When we do things like that, that fellowship with God is broken, is severed, and there's a battle until we get it right. And I thank God that John says if we confess our sin, then God is faithful to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But there's that confession that we need to make in our new life. And when one becomes saved, actually, he becomes a new person in Christ. That old nature remains, but a new one is born in our life. And there's a lot of scriptures to back that up. I love Galatians 6:5. It says, "You are a new creation." I like 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, "You're a new creature in Christ." I like Ephesians 4:24. It says, "Put on the new man in Christ." And folks, that's just what we need to do. We need to walk that Christian walk in the newness of life. And then how do we do that? Well, he doesn't stop telling us how. The Bible speaks plainly. Look at 2 Corinthians 5:7. Turn over with me in 2 Corinthians. "For we what? Walk by faith, not by sight." We have to walk by faith in the new life that we live, folks. Walking by faith. I said this morning, Moses, by faith, Moses. I love Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, 1 is my favorite verse. "Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." It says, "For by faith, the men of old gained a good report." And folks, we have to live by faith. We have to walk by faith. When we're not living by faith, the Bible says, "Whatsoever is not of faith is what? Sin." Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. So we live the Christian life by faith. We start by faith. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 says, "For it is by faith that you're saved See, for by grace are you saved through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. We start by faith. We trust Christ. The beginning of our faith is simple faith in Jesus Christ to live the life we're supposed to live. But after we trust Him by faith, friends, we start living by faith. Every day we're to put our faith in Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Romans 1:17, I got back to Romans now, Romans 1:17, the just shall live by faith. We've got to learn to trust God every single day. And folks, that's hard to do. It's hard to do if we're not reading our Bible. You know, it's hard to do when we get our eyes upon the world and we start thinking about things of the world. But we've got to simply trust God by faith. Everything we do, got to trust Him by faith. If you need something, you ought to start praying, asking God to give that to you or to show it to you if you're supposed to have it or not. You begin by faith, you live by faith. And Hebrews 11:13 says we ought to die by faith. Folks, that's how we learn to simply trust God. And if our faith grows dim, it's because we're not believing God, we're not trusting God. I always like to ask, what are you trusting God for right now? Think about that just for a moment. If we're to live by faith, what are you trusting God for right now in your life? Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. What are you believing God for right now? You see, Peter looked down. He started out believing God. When he walked out to that boat, I always like to use old Peter because he was a guy that was kind of, he would jump up. He'd say, I'll do it. And sometimes he stuck his foot in his mouth. Sometimes he didn't. But, you know, it was a growing process. It was a growing process. Peter recognized the Lord walking on that water, and boy, he got out of that boat and he started walking on the water. But then he took his eyes off of Jesus and he began to sink. Have you ever done that? We start out by faith, believing something is so, and we start living by faith, trusting God for that, and what happens? The old devil sends some circumstances along in our life that just kind of throws us for a loop, knocks us off our feet, knocks the props out from under us, and we begin to doubt God. Amen? You ever done that? I know I have. We begin to doubt. Well, God, did I understand you right? Peter started out, Lord, bid me come to you. I'll step out on that water and I'll come. And he started out and he's walking on water. And then the Bible says he took his eyes off of Jesus, begin to look at the storms around him. That's the way we do. We begin to look at the storms around him, and we begin to sink. But let me tell you something. Some people say, well, you know what? He didn't have a whole lot of faith. I think he did. At least he got out of the boat, you see. The rest of them stayed in the boat. And folks, let me tell you something. That's the way we are in our churches a lot of times. We don't want to fail, so we never step out on faith. We never trust God for nothing because we don't want to get out of the boat. We don't want to rock the boat. We're scared we're going to sink. It's, you know, I'd rather fail than not even do anything. And I tell you what, you won't fail if you'll trust God, if you'll believe God. I guarantee you, when God tells you to do something, if you'll do it, He'll back you up. But you know what? Had an old preacher says, you know, well, you got to get out on that limb with just you and God and trust God for it. And you know what? He begins to strengthen our faith. He begins to grow our faith. That's how we grow in faith. You'll never grow if you don't try. You'll never do anything if you don't try. Folks, we've got to trust God, got to believe God. So ask yourself, what am I believing God for right now? I've said this many times, you ought to write down your prayer request and start believing God for some things that may seem impossible. They're not impossible with God. You know, we can walk by faith, and I guarantee you when we start walking by faith, when a church starts believing God, We run through some severe trials in our life. But with God, we can be assured of being raised up, just like old Peter was, to new heights. I think when he got back in the boat, Jesus said, "Well done, Peter. At least you got out of the boat. At least you did walk on water for a little while." You see, we need to learn to walk by faith in our new life. Then we are to not only walk by faith, the Bible says, turn in your will in your Bibles to Galatians. Galatians 5:16. Look what it says. In the newness of life, we're to walk in the Spirit. Galatians 5:16. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Folks, in our Christian life, we need to learn to walk in the Spirit of God to not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now, how does television portray preachers? When you talk about walking in the Spirit, when you hear me say, learn to walk in the Spirit, now what are you thinking about then? I get tickled when you watch the TV preachers or you watch, talk about television, portraying the preachers. They portray television preachers as some kind of freak shows, don't they? Weird, slapping the pews, jumping over pews, or handling snakes and all that kind of stuff. I was talking to some guys the other day, and they said, "Preacher, you want to, y'all search one of them snake handlers?" I said, "Man, I wouldn't even touch a snake, much less handle one." But that's what sometimes the world portrays churches and preachers as. But when I say walk in the Spirit, I believe that a person ought to be walking in the Spirit of God, or God's Spirit ought to be showing in that person's life, so that when you start talking to someone else, it won't be long till they know that the Spirit of God is controlling your life. You know, it doesn't mean that you have some kind of special revelation from God, or that you have dreams, or you have visions, or you can speak in tongues, or all of those kind of things, but it does mean that you ought to be different than the world. Sometimes I think that they think that preachers have special powers. And I'm always said, well, you know, I'm told, well, you're a preacher, would you pray for this? And I'm thinking, you know, yeah, but you have the same Lord and the same God that, you know, you can pray just as good as I can. Why don't you pray? But they think just because you're a preacher that you've got a hotline to the Lord. And I think we ought to have a hotline in prayer where we can call upon the Lord and He hears our prayer. But to walk in the Spirit simply means that our lives ought to be controlled by the Spirit of God, and that you have an inside spiritual guide of the Holy Spirit guiding your life and directing your life. Now, folks, is that the kind of person that you want to be? A person that walks in the newness of life? A person that has a new nature, a person that has a new faith in Jesus Christ, a person that has a new spirit in Jesus Christ. I believe when we're saved, that's what we ought to be. We're to literally live our lives so that when the world sees us, that they'll know that that person walks with God. That person, something is different about them. And then look at Ephesians 4:1. A person that is walking in the newness of life is to walk worthy. Man, we're to walk worthy of God. Ephesians 4:1, it says, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy." Paul is writing to the Ephesians, and he says, listen, I want you to start walking worthy of the calling in which you were called. Folks, that's what the world needs is a church, is a group of people in that church to walk worthy of Christ. That word worthy means something very special. Walk worthy. Something of great value. It's worth something. And Paul says, listen to the Ephesians. Why don't you walk worthy of being a Christian? Man, why should you walk worthy? One, Galatians 3:26 says, you are a child of God. I thank the Lord. When I was home, my father would say, listen, I'm your daddy. Don't do anything that would embarrass your mother or me. And I knew what he was talking about. He was literally saying, listen, this is the way I expect you to live. I expect you to live in a manner in which anything you do can be put under the light and they won't find anything wrong with it. So that you don't drag your name down. That you don't ruin your name. I don't know about you, but Joneses, you know, we come from a long line of just about any kind of people you find. Well, Daddy was proud of that name. Daddy was proud of his heritage. Daddy was proud of his life. He didn't always live that way, and he came from a rough family. And he knew how it was to have a bad name. But he wanted to change that around. And if you're going to change anything around, it's got to start with you, you see. And you know what? When I became a child of God, it's the same thing. God says, listen, you're my child. You are to walk worthy of a Christian. Don't do anything that would drag the Holy Spirit down in your life. Don't do anything that would shame that name, Christian. And the Bible says not only that, we are kings and priests. You know that? You are a king and a priest in Christ Jesus, Revelation 1:6. And then it says we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Folks, that's the kind of life he's talking about. Are you worthy tonight to walk that kind of life? Does that mean anything to you? It means a lot to me. Man, when I hear people talking about First Baptist Church of Gun Barrel and so-and-so members up there and this is the kind of life they're living, it hurts. It hurts when I hear of one of our members out in public that's doing something that's dragging down the name of Christ. And it's also dragging down First Baptist Church of Gun Barrel City. I want this church, I want the name of Christ to be above all of that. When somebody says First Baptist Church, they're a member of First Baptist Church of Gun Barrel City, I want them to be respectable in their life. Don't you? I don't want to hear bad things. You know what they did up there? You know, so-and-so's a member up there in church, and he was arrested the other night for drinking while intoxicated. Driving while intoxicated. Drinking while intoxicated. That may be a little hard to do. But you know, those kind of things are bad, aren't they? They give God a bad name. They give your church a bad name. They give you a bad name. Isn't it better to walk worthy? Isn't it better to know that the Holy Spirit lives right in here in our life and we don't want to do anything that's displeasing to the Holy Spirit? We don't want to do anything that would bring shame. The Bible says we are ambassadors for Christ. We are ambassadors. Y'all know what an ambassador is. They go over to a foreign country and they represent our president. They represent the United States of America when they're our ambassadors. And we find that there have been swindling and stealing and things going on like that. It's a shame, isn't it? But the Christian life, the Bible says, you are an ambassador of Christ. And if we're out there dragging Christ's name through the dirt, if we're out there doing things that are displeasing, if our lives are filthy and dirty, and we're no different from the world, then it brings shame to the temple of God. This worthiness did not come because of what he did, but because of the mercy in which he bestowed upon us in Christ. Folks, we are ambassadors. We're to walk worthy as a Christian tonight. Our lives are to be walking in the newness of life. And as we go through this life, let us remember who we are as Christians. There's one story that I just love. I love all the stories in the Bible. But there's one story that I think hits us all sooner or later in our lives. And that's the story of the prodigal son. Amen? Hadn't we all gone astray? Haven't we all went out and wasted our substance and on the world? You know, we've all done things that have, just like this prodigal son. When I read the prodigal son, and I see a young man who has run off, or who's always who's wanted something that really wasn't his, but he asked for it and the father gave it to him. I think of all of my life and the lives of people that have done the same thing. God says, okay, here's my Holy Spirit. And we've gone out to places and done things that were shameful. Amen. And the Bible says this is the prodigal son. He went out to a far country and he found himself feeding the hogs, or what they call swine, same thing. He was in a hog pen. He was in a hog pen in the far country. And let me tell you something. What is the far country? Far country is any place out of God's will. If you're out of God's will, you're in a far country. It doesn't mean that you're in another country somewhere way off. It just means you're out of God's will. This young man was out of God's will. He's in the far country, and he's feeding hogs. He's dressed in rags. He ought to be in the father's house. He ought to be dressed in the riches, but now he's in rags. He's weary, and he's wore out, and the Bible says he remembered who he was. Isn't that amazing? He remembered who he was. And folks, I think that's what we need to do. If we're to live the Christian life and walk in the newness of life, we need to stop and remember sometimes who we are. Man, we're a child of God if we've been born again. And if you haven't been born again, you need to be. He welcomes you. He says, come everyone that's thirsty. You see, the doors are wide open. God says, I want you to come to me. I don't want you to suffer in life. I don't want you to die without being saved. I want you to have an abundant life. And as Christians, think about that. God doesn't want you to have to be going through all of this problems. He wants you to have joy and have peace. But, you know, we bring a lot of it upon ourselves. Like I said this morning, a lot of it's because of the choices we make in life. But God says, here, you're to walk in the newness of life and to have joy. And we can do that if we'll just pause and say, Lord, I'm your child. I don't need to be doing this. I don't need to be in this place, and return home to the Father. That's what the prodigal son did. He remembered who he was, and he got up and went back to the Father. Folks, there's a lot of Christians tonight that are not here. And I'm not going to be critical of them. What we need to do is pray for them. What we need to do is say, Lord, let them remember who they are. Let them remember what you've done for them. And let them come back. And let me ask you something. What are you believing God for? If you're not believing God for something, why don't you pray for one of them? And start praying and praying and commit yourself. You know what? I'm going to believe God for them. And do everything that God asks you to do to get them back. I believe you'll find out that He'll use you. So, to walk the Christian life, one, we're to walk in the newness of life. We're to walk in faith, trusting God, believing God. We're to walk in the Spirit of God, have His Spirit leading us, guiding us, and then we'll walk worthy of His calling. If you're here tonight and you haven't been walking worthy, if you're here tonight and you are walking worthy, great for you. But let's be a church that lives for Christ. Let's be a member who is walking in the newness of life. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you tonight that you've called us to walk worthy, that you've called us to walk in the new spirit, or the Spirit of God in which we have. And we're to live by faith, the Bible says. We're to walk worthy of the calling, and we're to walk in the Spirit of God. And Lord, if our lives are not doing that tonight, Lord, I pray that we'll just come and rededicate, recommit our lives to you. For it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen.